Clyde, would you start in a word of prayer?
Precious Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and gather in your name, because in doing so, we know that you're with us. So, Lord, we just ask that you have your way in our lives and in our ears. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of life would say, and that we would be partakers of that life, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I think I'll read out of the Passion Translation. I don't know what it is about that, but I can't remember. And did you say we started at
19
last week? Let me just read that over, okay? And we went to
24. I went to my dream, then I looked at the next verse, okay. And then we added that.
Okay. 19. And this starts off with the true power of the cross. I'm going to start at 18. Mm-hmm. To preach the message of the cross seems like sheer nonsense to those who are on their way to destruction. But to us who are being saved, it is the mighty power of God released within us. For it is written, I will dismantle the wisdom of the wise, and I will invalidate the intelligence of the scholars. And in my own heart, I'm not quoting anymore. In my own heart, right now, I'm feeling that war going on. And that's why I wanted to maybe talk about it a little bit more today. Because there's something about all that's going on that I'm feeling there is a warfare. And the whole situation of us being lowered into this lower cosmos of humanism or human beingism has dumbed us down to where it makes it hard for us to understand the things of God, even if we are totally saved and moving on, and you know, and it used to be easier for me now, or then, than it is now, for some reason. I thought I had it. I thought, boy, I got it. God is in control. God loves us above all things. There is, all we'll see, reconciliation, la-di-da-da, isn't love grand, and let's just all go on with it. Because there is no, truly, there is evil, but evil wouldn't. And lately I'm seeing there is evil. And I react to that. And somehow it's causing a war in the Spirit of God that dwells within me, and probably the emotions that are due to being in this earthly realm. So I'm just kind of throwing that out there, and I'll go on reading. We can read to 23, and that's a thing that's going on in my mind these days. It's changing somehow my concept of my Heavenly Father in the way that I was related to him, and things are changing in me. Okay, go ahead.
On the way, in the last few days, I've been a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And it's like, your understanding is changing. This is what I'm seeing on the way down here today. Mm. This song came to me, and it's a worldly song, but it was by Dionne Warwick, What's It All About, Alfie? Mm-hmm. And I was saying, it's like I was asking God, what's it all about? It's like there's so much more mm-hmm. to what I'm understanding, which we know there is, mm-hmm. but it's causing me to delve more and wanting to know more, see more, and more be done mm-hmm. in me. This
yeah.
is
I'm so glad to hear you say that. That, you know, maybe it's something about the time that we are in, and the revelations and the awakening, things that are happening to us about the Spirit of God. There is only one Spirit. That is the Spirit of God. And yet that's so hard to understand in the realm that we're living in, because there's bad stuff going on. Anyway, go ahead, Clyde.
I might be wrong, but it could be that because we're not looking through the eyes of our understanding. The eyes of our understanding isn't really our understanding, it's His. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the more we focus on what's going on in the world, I think the more trouble we'll have to accept that. We got to realize, I was trying to look for it in here, where the word says that the people, the children of this world, cannot comprehend or understand the things of God. And to be honest with you, they're not intended to until they accept God. Mm-hmm. And accepting God doesn't mean you actually have all knowledge of Him. I mean, we're kidding ourselves if we think that. It's that, first of all, by faith, you got to accept Him by faith. And then you come into a place to where that faith grows in a relationship where you become dependent upon Him, and you quit listening to so many things that are here or there or whatever. I'm not saying we don't care for the world, but we need to realize the world's in a place, well, Oscar quoted it, I think it was in Romans, where, and it might have been in the 8th chapter there, where they can't comprehend this, not because they choose,
that's right,
but because He had purpose in His purpose that they wouldn't, until they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let's face it, the only way we get to Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit and then drawing us together. And He said, you know, if they're not drawn, you know, I've heard people tell me, if it wasn't, and I've told Oscar this, I said, a guy at work, I mean, it really did something to me. He said, well, I'll tell you the truth, Clyde. If I wasn't afraid of going to hell, I'm not sure if I'd ever known Jesus. And I'm looking at him going like this. I'm not kidding you. What's going through me at that moment is, I'm not sure if you do know it.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a reason for fear, but it's not the keeping power of God. That's not what keeps you. He didn't give you the spirit of fear. Right? I mean, he didn't do that. He works through His word and His compassion. And I think what holds us a lot of times is the fact that His mercies are fresh and new every day to us that are in the house of God. I mean, that's great value. I mean, that's something that has the holding power. And like last week, we can't get away from the foundation, from the blood of the Lamb, from Calvary, what He's done and how much He's sacrificed. I love what He said about His brother. You know, He said, why am I, if you don't care, why am I suffering like this? And he said he felt like the Lord told him, he said, I just want you to have a little of what I went through for you.
Mm-hmm. To understand.
I mean, that's something that'll grab hold of you that won't let go, because, you know, you'll finally understand, oh my, He did that for me. You know, and you break down from all your hardness. And let's face it, when we deal, I still believe this, when we deal with our emotions, a lot of times we're dealing with stupidity. It's because we let the emotions control us into an area to where maybe we ought not walk. I love that song, Dionne Warwick's song, What's It All About? Well,
when I'm looking and seeing that question.
Yes.
I'm not looking at the world and what's all going on out there, because I really believe
you're asking about right here.
Is it? Yes, it's here.
And I think that's where the question should be asked.
It's
because
here.
If we asked in here, we're asking the one that lives in here,
yes.
Abides in
yes.
here, hey, and never leaves in here. Mm-hmm. I will never leave you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we believe in the God that's the God always present. Jesus never fails. I love the song. I mean, the sign out there. And the facts are, the more we trust Him, I think it's built on a relation of trust. The more we trust Him, you know, people say, I don't know how you could ask God that. I said, well, I guess because I'm just duh. I feel like, you know, I'm about as simple can be. I asked God, I said, you know what God's willing to do? He's actually willing to do what sometimes we're going to be willing to do. He's willing to prove Himself to us. I'm God and there is no other God, no nothing before me. We're going to find that out. And the sooner we find that out, the more I think what we do is, have you ever walked someplace and almost didn't know how you got there? I think that's God's plan with us. But He wants us to realize, well, you didn't. You look back to look at the sand, you couldn't see the feet because I was carrying you then. I mean, God's a God. His greatness is so great, and we can't even measure it. But the thing is, we can enjoy it.
Yeah.
I believe He, you know, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. We can enjoy His presence. But I think as we identify with Him, we're going to go like, it's okay. You know that one song we used to sing? It's okay in my Father's house. Everything's all right.
Okay.
In my Father's house. Yes. In my Father's house. Well, anyway, I'll shut up.
Stay in your Father's house. Hallelujah. You know, and I'm thinking, as I'm sitting here listening to you, maybe some of what I'm feeling is what I'm feeding myself. I'm looking where, instead of turn your eyes upon Jesus, I've been turning my eyes on the world. Go ahead, Oscar.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, you know, what you just said there, basically, but that when you say, Lord, what's it all about? As long as we think it's all about us, then we're heading in the wrong direction and we're going to be disappointed. We're going to see negative attributes everywhere around us as long as it's about us. It has to all become about Him. And when it all becomes about Him, then the answers are in Him. He is the answer, you know. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you know, we were talking about, you were talking about evilness before, and I was looking at this, and you know, I've read this many times, I've preached on this different times. In Isaiah 45, he says, that they may know from the rising of the sun, this is verse 6, from the rising of the sun and from the west, and that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there's none else. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them that bring forth salvation, let the righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe unto them that strives with his maker. And if we're not careful sometimes, when it becomes about us, we begin to even strive with the Maker. Well, Lord, how could you let this happen? And why does this happen? And why does that happen? And why? Well, to be honest with you, He don't have to tell you.
That's right.
He don't have to. If it's something you need to know, He will tell you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that sounds a little harsh when I say that. But it's like, you know, have you ever dealt with a little kid? And sometimes we're like little children. I mean, we even in our understanding, sometimes we're like little children. Have you ever been out with a little kid and you'll tell them something and they'll say, why? And you give them the answer and they'll say, why? And you give them the answer and they say, why? And they just keep whining you to death. Mm-hmm. You know, well, it's because they're not really receiving the initial answer. And sometimes we have to realize that God's in control. He created this whole thing. He's going to bring it about. You know, he is the author and the what of our faith? The finisher. He's going to finish it. We're not going to finish it. He's going to finish it. He has to finish it in us. And any questions or anything that we have, you know, is like I said last week about the guy, you know, that the scientist Carver or whatever his name was, him asking the Lord, revealed to me the mysteries of the universe. And he said, well, as he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I won't do that, but I'll reveal to you the mystery of a peanut.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're gonna receive glory and revelation in God throughout the ages, I believe. I mean, God is so vast, and so he's gonna unfold himself to us, and we're going to become just like him. You know, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then the in part will be done away with. Well, that, you know, a lot of people take that to say, oh, that meant that the gifts of the Spirit went away, you know.
That's what they say.
A lot of religious people will say that.
Now,
that meant the gifts of the Spirit went away. No, that isn't what that meant. That meant that when that which is perfect has come, that's coming into that perfect knowledge. And that word for perfect there is a word also that means a full-aged man.
Mm-hmm.
When a full-aged man has come, the in part will be done away with. Because you don't need part when you got the whole thing. What do you need part for? You know, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish things. Mm-hmm. Well, the childish things is that, you know, you don't know the true reality of God, but when we know that true reality, we won't need that in part thing because we'll have the fullness of the thing. You know, Jesus didn't come up to one of his disciples and say, you know, Nathaniel, I sort of think maybe the Lord told me you was under the tree. No, he said, when you was under the tree, I saw you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, we don't know what Nathaniel was doing under the tree. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. We have no idea. Maybe it was something in the natural that was good, and maybe it was something that was bad. But I tell you what, when he spoke those words to him, Nathaniel got in line all of a sudden. He knew who was talking to him.
Right.
You know. And that's and what did that woman at the well?
Right.
Same when thing. He told her, you know, go call your husband.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, that's right. You've had all these other husbands. You know, what'd she do when she went and talked to people? Come see a man that what?
Told
me everything I ever did. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, what he told her was what she'd been doing for forever. That there was no in part there. It was the fullness. You know, in him dwells the fullness. And we're complete in him, but we're in a growth process of growing up to where we'll know what he wants us to know when he wants us to know it. And sometimes, if we knew it ahead of time, it would be a bad thing instead of a
right,
good thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It would be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Because, what did Peter say? What did he say to Peter? Peter told him, he said, who do men say I am? He said, some men say you're this, and some men say you're that. He said, well, who do you say I am? He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, you know, and so forth. Flesh and blood's not revealed that to you,
right,
Peter, but my Father.
Okay?
Yes. Then what happens? Then later on, when Jesus starts telling him the things that he's going to have to go through, what does Peter say?
Oh, not so.
Not so, Lord, not so. You know, he had a little knowledge, but not the right kind of knowledge yet. Not so, Lord. And what did Jesus say to him?
Get behind me,
Satan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the Lord calls you Satan in front of a bunch of people.
You're gonna
go down and sink down in your shoes. You know what I mean? And Peter shut up, and he did shut up. And what did Jesus tell him later on? He said, when you've been converted, strengthen the brother.
Right.
Oh,
there was going to come a conversion. And buddy, we have to be converted. We're being changed line upon line, precept upon precept, day in, day out. He's changing us, and he's bringing us up into that place where eventually we will see the fullness. We can claim we got it all we want.
Mm-hmm.
We're complete in him, but we haven't completely given ourselves over to him. You know what I'm saying? Once we, what did he say? He said, you'll seek for me and search for me, and you'll find me in the day that what you do what?
Seek me with your whole
heart.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he mean there? You give me everything. When you give me everything, I'm going to give you everything. But we like to think we've given him everything, but we really haven't. We hold back things.
You know that the rest of that is line upon line, here a little, there a little.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important that we understand it's a little.
Yeah.
Let me read
that to you a little bit. I got it right here because I was in Isaiah anyway. And he says here, let's see, let me find it here.
Where are you reading from?
It'll be Isaiah 43, I think it is. Are you sure that's what it is?
Hey, while he's looking for that, can I tell you, I think it's good that we come to a confession of where we're at.
Yeah.
Because we won't go from that to that next day unless we confess it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think confession's good for your soul. What's it mm-hmm. do for your soul? It frees your soul. Mm-hmm. The things that bind you up will be set free. And I mean, we speak to things. And I believe that, you know, God has given us the ability to discern, given us a discerning spirit, which is His spirit. Mm-hmm. So we would know rightly how to divide not only the word of truth, but the word of truth that comes out of somebody else that we haven't even met.
Lying upon my precept.
I pray a lot of times for the people that we haven't met. I know we're going to meet somebody that we haven't met. But, you know, I don't want to be tongue-tied to where the place to where I won't know what to say. These lips are yours. This voice is yours. Whatever you want to say will be said. Because okay, I believe he'll give you the utterance.
Isaiah 28. I don't know why I was thinking 23. 28, yeah. Let me redress that to you real quick.
28.
I love that scripture back there. Isaiah 28. Okay. And let's just go with about verse 9. Starting with verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Then them that are weaned from milk and drawn from the breast. In other words, you're not drinking milk anymore, you're eating meat. Okay. And then he says, for precept must be upon precept, and line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Mm-hmm. You get it by little bits, okay? Mm-hmm. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Okay, that's where you're going to find your rest, right there. Wherein you may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. That's when you get your refreshing.
Wow. Yes. Wow.
Yet they would not hear, okay? But the word of the Lord unto them was precept upon precept and line upon line and here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards. In other words, they heard it, but then they backed off from it and be broken and snared and taken. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell. And we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come up unto us. But we have made lies our refuge, and under the falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Yes.
Judgment also will I lay at the line and righteousness to the pummel it, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Now let me tell you what is hail?
Ice.
Hard water.
Yeah.
Hard water. We know water is a type of the word. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you what, when you start preaching the hard water to people, they go away. They go away. That's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Because guess what? What does hail do to living things? It breaks them down.
It breaks them down.
Totally down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you get a bad enough hail and you got crops, it'll totally ruin your crops. It'll break them completely down. But it says here, water shall overflow the hiding place. And you know, a lot of people hide in their traditions. Yes. And stuff like that. And God's going to break down them stupid traditions. I mean, you know, there's so many religious folks are the worst. They got the most traditions of anybody, you know, because grandma thought this or Uncle Henry was that or whatever it was. You know, that's got to be the way it is. And half the time when they even quote a scripture, it's not even a scripture. It's
right.
Stupid. You know, I've heard preachers say, people say, well, scripture says that every pot sit on its bottom. Where? I don't believe it says, you know. But that's just something somebody said, you know. And then all of a sudden they make it into a scripture or something. And it says, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement mm-hmm. with hell shall not stand when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, and then shall be trodden down by it. You know, people have made a covenant with hell. The religious folks have made a covenant with hell.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to go to hell that don't know Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what hell is. They haven't studied into the words of hell. You know, let me tell you what. If hell is a consuming fire and it's going to consume people for eternity, what does the scripture say our God is?
Consuming fire.
What did David say? If I take the wings of the morning and I ascend into the uttermost high, behold, thou art there.
Yeah.
If I make my bed where?
In
hell. Behold, thou art there. Why? Because he's everywhere, you know. And if there's a consuming fire, he's that consuming fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the devil's got a. My mother told me this one time. She said my dad told her one time, you know, that I guess they was fighting or fussing or something. She said, this was before she was a Christian. I think she told him to go to hell or something like that. And she said, he told her, well, there ain't nothing but a bunch of Spurlocks with a fire built down there.
And that was her maiden name?
Yes, Spurlock, yeah. That's what she said.
That was pretty good.
There ain't nothing but a bunch of Spurlocks with a fire built down there, she told him. I don't know. You know, that's about the truth. But, you know, people have got themselves convinced of the traditions, and those traditions came in because religion wanted to scare everybody into just what you said before.
Yeah.
Wanted to scare everybody into that.
Yes,
you know. And I'm not saying there ain't gonna be some fire, because there's gonna be some fire, because scripture says he makes his ministers a what?
Fire.
A flame of fire.
Yep.
And we know our God is a consuming fire. And we know that in Revelations, hell and death are going to be cast into the lake of fire. If hell's so eternal, then why is it going to be cast into the lake of fire? And boy, I'm going to preach a sermon on that sometime. I got a real good sermon on that. I might have shared it before.
But what does fire do?
Fire purifies. It takes things to its most pure level.
Mm-hmm.
Fire takes everything down to carbon, and carbon, you know, everything's made out of carbon somewhere in the world, just about. Even that ring you got on your finger that Mikey gave you when you got married, if it's a diamond ring, that's carbon. That's just hard carbon. It's good pressed, you know.
So there is so much misunderstanding.
There is.
In our understanding. Even what hell is.
That's why I even like science, because I remember in science, and I was always, for some reason, I was always good at science, and it wasn't because I studied a lot. It just made sense to me, some of it. And when you know what happens when you burn a piece of wood? All of the gas that's in that wood is released. All of the water, everything is totally released from that wood. It comes down to its purest form, down to a piece of carbon when it's done. I mean, it's basically carbon, you know. And we're all made up from carbon, from the dust of the earth, you know, when you get down to it. But anyway, I don't get off the subject, but I just felt like we should read that back there, because that line upon line, that precept upon precept, and they've made a covenant with hell and with death. And when you make a covenant with hell and death, guess what? Until that covenant's broken, you're gonna dwell in the realm of hell and death. You know, I mean, until that covenant's broken, it has to be broken. And God broke that covenant on Calvary. You know,
didn't that fire consume everything that was consumable? I mean,
well, yeah.
Otherwise, it does away with all the improvers.
Right.
The I don't know how to say it.
Well, like when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and
the bush, wasn't
the bush, he actually went up there because he saw a bush that was burning up there.
Right.
And he went up to see why it was burning, and it wasn't being consumed, you know. Mm-hmm. And when he got up there, God spoke with him and told him, loose the sandals off your feet, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Well, why did he tell him to loose his sandals? What does that mean? Why would he say loose your sandals? Because that holy ground, your feet, there was something between you and that holy ground. Those sandals, okay? Mm-hmm. Until you took those sandals off, you weren't really in contact with holy ground, you know.
Interesting.
And what does it say in the New Testament? It says that we desire to not to be unclothed, but to be clothed upon with our house from
above.
See? Yeah. Well, what's that house from above? That's the presence of God, to be totally clothed with Him. And what happened with Adam and Eve? And I'm almost getting off into a sermon here, and I don't want to do that. But what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? When God spoke to them, and they were hiding from Him. Why were they hiding from Him? What did they say?
Oh, that we're naked.
We're naked. Mm-hmm. Who told you were naked,
right?
He said. Well, why was they naked? Because they had been clothed with His presence.
Right.
And when they sinned, they felt the vulnerability there, see, because His presence wasn't so evident to them that all of a sudden they were naked, you know.
Well, they got what they want. They got what they wanted. Yeah. I mean, that's what they.
Well, and you have to realize that was all part of God's plan. That
yeah.
was all part of His plan. I mean, nothing caught Him by surprise, and because Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the
right.
world. So that was all in part of God's plan that happened with man, and He knew it was going to happen. And you know, so, but I mean, boy, I tell you what, when we're just so much we don't understand.
Yeah.
We just don't understand very much. And when we do start seeing it, it's pretty simple, and it's very, it's just so simple, you know.
I think that's part of the troubling that I've been feeling.
Yeah.
Is because I thought I understood.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to see that I just don't understand at all. And then I think to myself, this simplicity thing, how could you believe somehow that you were going to understand God?
Yeah.
We can't understand God. But that is, for some reason, that is the cry of my heart these days, and has been for months.
Right.
Lord, I want to see You and know You in the same way that You see me and know me.
Right.
And I don't know if that's even presumptuous.
No, I believe that's exactly the way He wants you to feel. That's the way He wants you to feel. You know, He said, except you become as a little child, you can't see the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and really you can't enter it either.
Mm-hmm.
You have to become as a little child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at the way little children are, you know. Or if a little child gets hurt or something goes wrong, where's the first place they run?
Mom.
Mommy. They run to mommy, and what they want to be do? They want to be snuggled up in mommy's arms, you know. And they think mommy's the greatest, and they think daddy's the greatest. They think daddy can do anything, you know. He you know, my daddy can beat your daddy up. My daddy can do this, he can do that. Until they grow up and find out daddy, their natural daddy, can't do all that stuff, you know. But you know, that getting back to the simplicity of Christ is going back to the place where you begin to confess to the Lord. Lord, I know you've shown me a lot of things, but I'm but a child. What did Jeremiah say when he had his encounter in the book of Jeremiah? When he had his encounter with God, what did Jeremiah say? I'm but a child.
Yeah.
Was he a child?
No.
Probably not. He was probably a man because God was getting ready to send him to the enemies of God. And he said, but I'm but a child. You know, how can I go? You know, and that kind of attitude. That's where you got to be. You got to realize, I'm little, you're big.
Oh, buddy, yes.
And, you know, whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And, I mean, when we get so surrendered to God in all those areas. And buddy, I'm not there, and I wish I was. I mean, I'm not there, and I don't know anybody. I have to say, I don't know anybody that is there at this point in time. But you know, all of this chaos that's going on in the world today, we need to not let that deter us or disturb us, because what does he say? He's going to do that. He's going to allow that to come. Mm-hmm. He's going to let the hard water to come.
And hallelujah, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world.
And then one portion, I love what the Amplified says, and that says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, I've conquered it for you.
Yes.
For you. Mm-hmm. Not for me. He already had it conquered. I've conquered it for you, you know. And you know, we're getting there. We're getting there.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I wasn't even gonna say anything this morning, so geez, I'm sorry. I spoke up too much probably. But anyway,
you being quiet isn't what the Lord is.
Well, I like to hear you guys all talk. I mean, you know, I hear my talking enough. You know.
Okay. Well, do you want to let's read on just a little bit? Then,
yeah.
Okay. 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to then go on to 20, and I'm reading out of the Passion. So where is the wise philosopher? Who understands? Where is the expert scholar who really comprehends? And where is the skilled debater of our time who could win a debate with God? Mm-hmm. Hasn't God demonstrated that the wisdom of this world system is utter foolishness? For in his wisdom, God designed that all the world's wisdom would be insufficient to lead people to the discovery of himself. He took great delight in baffling the wisdom of the world by using the simplicity of preaching the story of the cross. I was thinking of that before when we were talking. It does have to all come back to the cross. No matter where we're going with it, the only way is through the cross, in order to save those who believe it. I'm going to stop there. Would you read it in the...
Where do you want me to start at?
Start again at 19, I think. Mm-hmm. For it is written...
Yes. For it is written, I will baffle and render useless and destroy the learning of the learned and the philosophy of the philosophers. And the cleverness of the clever and the discernment of the discerning. I will frustrate and nullify them and bring them to nothing. Where is the wise man, the philosopher? Where is the scribe, the scholar? Where is the investigator, the logian, the debater of the present time and age? Has not God shown us the nonsense and the folly of this world's wisdom? For when the world, with all its earthly wisdom, failed to perceive and recognize and know God by means of its own philosophy, God and his wisdom was pleased through the foolishness of preaching salvation procured by Christ and to be had through him to save those who believed, who clung to and trusted in and relied on him. For a while, Jews demandingly asked for signs and miracles, and Greeks pursued philosophy and wisdom. Mm-hmm. We preach Christ, the Messiah, crucified, preaching which to the Jews is a scandal and an offensive stumbling block that springs a snare or trap. And to the Gentiles, it is absurd and utterly unphilosophical nonsense. But to those who are called, whether Jew or Greek or Gentile, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Is that where we stop at 24?
Go ahead and go to 24.
This is because the foolish thing that has its source in God is wiser than men, and the weak thing that springs from God is stronger than men.
Kid, do you have the footnote? Do you have the footnotes in your translation of the?
Online, I probably.
Oh, well, I got it here.
Go ahead.
But I wanted to read verse 18.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the footnote for verse 18. I love this. It says, the message of the cross becomes the ignition point where God's power becomes operative and actuated with the ability to convert, transform, and save. The Aramaic can be translated as, you know, rather than the message of the cross, translated, for he is the power of God.
Yes.
Wow.
Rather than the message, see. And I like that, because he is the power of God, and he went to the cross for us. My goodness, we just don't really, I don't think we even grasp that, you know what I mean? Not really what Jesus did there. I mean, you know, I mean, that was the power of God being released. And I like what it said here. It said it was the ignition point.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in the car and you turn the key, guess what? That's the ignition. That's what makes that thing go. It ain't gonna go unless you turn the ignition, you know. And that ignition is inside of us, and that's Christ in you. And you know, I love that. And like I say, sometimes going back and even looking at some of the basic principles in Christ, they're just so important, so important. And like I say, some of the deep stuff, they get away from that sometimes, and it almost seems like they disannul it, you know what I mean? Or just don't even talk about it at all. And buddy, you can't get away from that. You can't get away from the foundational truths in Christ. Without the foundation, the whole building comes down, you know. But that was real good what you read in the Amplified. That was very good, yeah, too.
I noticed that twice, once here in when I was reading this, and once in when you were reading out of yours, the word baffled was in there.
Uh-huh.
And I got to thinking about that word. I looked it up, and I couldn't find it in Strong's or anything, but... a baffle has a good purpose as well as, it, you know, if you're baffled as a verb, it means one thing, but there is a thing, isn't there, called a baffle?
Oh, yeah.
Baffles that are in something, and it's to
baffle directs things in different directions.
Yeah, yeah. It
changes the direction and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
If you look at some words in the Bible, when it's talking about the Spirit of God, It will be translated from a word that means baffling wind. Mm. Baffling wind. And that's what he is. He's a baffling wind. You know. You know. And somebody tells you, that certain thing baffled me, you know. That means you don't really understand what direction it took you in, but it changed your direction, you know, it was baffling and you didn't understand it.
Clyde?
I was liking what you said, what you read in Isaiah, where about the ice breaking down.
Yeah.
Because that does that to a farmer, all his crop's all gone.
Yeah.
But in many sense, if he does that to us,
yeah,
we seek shelter immediately. We don't stand out there and just take the boom, 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 boom. Because, I mean, actually, they're big enough where they could kill you and stuff like that. So I think what he does, he brings that to us, so we'll seek refuge. But the whole thing is, what refuge do we seek? Because remember, he's the one that made the ice. He could be saying, I want you to get out of this. I want you to be baffled. I'm baffling you over in this direction, so you'll be safe. I think a lot of times when he said the word ignition too, when he said that word, it was like I'm sitting over here and said, God knows that there's this part of you that's already waiting for that ignition. You don't know it, but he knows it, and he's going to send that to you to get you.
excited or motivated or moved
right on
to go to the what direction. I'll do whatever it takes to get you where I need you to go.
That's right.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what he does. Huh. I mean, a lot of times, well, I wasn't going to go that direction. Mm-hmm. But the Lord goes, okay, all right. Because he knows what direction we need to go. And basically, I believe God will do whatever it takes to get you where you need to be. But it takes a lot of humbling to say, okay, God, I hear you.
Just remember what he did with Jonah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good.
I mean, you know, Jonah didn't want it. He wanted to go as far away from that as he could. You know, that encounter I had with the Lord when I was a kid, you know, when he showed me behind the pulpit, I thought, that ain't me. I can't do that. I can't get up in front of people and talk and stuff. I mean, you know, because I'd had that epilepsy and stuff. I didn't even like going in crowded restaurants or anything, you know, because I'd had seizures out in public and stuff. So, but boy, I tell you what, God knows exactly how to maneuver you right where he wants you to be.
Well, he uses the story of Noah to show us that it's not beyond God to use something that's already in the water to get you to a safe place. The whale was big enough to take Jonah in and supply air to him as he took his journey to put the whale, said, you don't know where I'm going, but God knows where I'm going. And when he spit him out.
Spit him out right
Spit
up.
Him out right where he's supposed to go.
Yeah. He actually vomited him up. So it probably wasn't too pleasant even that.
So why should
who other than God would do that?
I mean, God has got every intimate detail. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that we don't do anything, because we do have to do some things. Because it's sort of like I think my mother say this about some of the old time preachers. They'd say, if God's got a hook in your jaw, you might as well come on. Well, you know what? We don't always come on.
Right.
We fight it sometimes, and we pull away, and we run off and get mad about something, or let our feelings hinder us from moving on into deeper things of God or whatever. But you know what? He knows how to deal with all that too, you know. If he's called you for a purpose, it's easier to just submit and do what God wants you to do, you know. And
praise God. Well, I think we've had a really good discussion today. I don't know if we're ever going to get out of chapter one.
So, do you think we're going to start on like the 25th verse, where it says, because the foolishness of God? I mean, starting right there would probably lead us into the rest of it and not leave any of the other out.
Okay. We start next week on 25? Okay. We shall do that. In the meantime, and in between time, let's praise God and let's keep his name, his nature foremost in our hearts, and just go on trotting the happy life. Oscar, why don't you close in a word?
Okay. Father, we just thank you for your words, for they truly are spirit and life.
Yes, they are, Lord.
We thank you for what you've revealed to us here today, and we just ask you that as this word goes forth, even over the internet, Father, that you would minister to hearts and just let people know that you're in control of it all, and that all you ask of us is to submit to your control. And as we submit to your control, even as a little child, you're going to keep us wrapped in your loving arms, and you're going to protect us and take us right into whatever you desire us to be. And we just trust you, and we thank you. And I ask you to just pour your anointing through Brother Mike as he shares the word out there today. And we'll be most careful to give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that you do. And we thank you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.